Okay, thank you so much for joining us. Today is June 21st, 2022, and it's Kof Bei Sivan, Tavshin Pei Beis. Thank you so much to Sheer Enjoyment, Mr. Jake Wyman, and it's a pleasure and a zechus to have everybody here. So we're in the middle of and at the end of the incident with David, with Tziklag, and we're going to be finishing that up today. But we have to really reflect and look back at the severe emotional storm that he went through with his men. They came back and they saw everything was destroyed, and the people were led away in captivity, and they cried and cried and cried till they had no more strength. The question is, was David lacking in bitachon when that happened? So what do we say? A human being who goes through that type of thing, you have to expect that the person is going to be traumatized and devastated by it. But he picked himself up and was okay afterward. I'd like to thank the construction for the background. We have music in the back today, the orchestra. The question is, though, how do we envision ends? Should we look at the best or the worst as being the result? Well, obviously we're supposed to be optimistic and say we are optimistic that everything is fine. But what happens when we have a hard time doing that? We're going to learn that worry and anxiety, it's not just a lack of midos, but it can also be used to our advantage. It's actually considered yisurin. It's considered suffering, and actually it goes to our credit. Meaning, if we do our best to trust in Hashem and to believe in Hashem and to be besimcha, like we're learning, and we still are worried, we're still traumatized by something, and then we pick ourselves up. But those moments of trauma and stress actually are a kapara for us. So we can also harness that to help us serve Hashem better. Where do we see such a thing? There's a notable example. And before we go back to David, is really an offshoot of what happened with David HaMelech. It says in Maseches familiar with the following situation. If a person killed somebody, not on purpose, to show gig, what is the halachic verdict for that person usually? If a person killed someone not on purpose, then he won't be executed. But if it was really a pure show gig, what does he have to do? He has to go to Irmut, he has to go to Refuge City. When is he allowed to come back from the Refuge City? When the Kohen Gadol
does. Mm-hmm.
Right? There are reasons for that. It says in Maseches Makos, and I'm going to show you how Yisurei HaNefesh, emotional stress, is literally a kapara. When we go through it, and therefore a person can't be considered to be inferior in spirituality. If a person goes through those thoughts, and they also are a kapara themselves, and they can save the person from actually going through that ordeal if he envisions himself going through that ordeal. We're going to show you right now. It's an atonement. That means that the person won't have to suffer anymore the end that he was thinking he would have to suffer.
Clears his plate.
Right. So it says in Maseches Makos, short piece of the Mishnah, Mishenigmar Dino. Let's say the person was on trial. The Beis Din was figuring out whether he should be executed or he should go to a refuge city for having killed not on purpose. Right after the verdict was passed and the sentence was stated that he needs to go to an Ir Miklat. He has to go to a refuge city. Right after that, Mace Kohen Gadol. What if the Kohen Gadol died right away and he didn't get a chance to go? He didn't even go yet. What is the halacha? What do you think the din is in that case?
Doesn't he have to go.
Or he doesn't go. What's the din?
No.
He does not go. He does not have to go into Golos. Now, wait a minute. Does it make sense? He's supposed to be there, and then the Kohen Gadol dies, and then he comes back. But he wasn't there yet. So how does that work? What's the reason for that? There's more than one reason. The Meiri says, I'll tell you the reason. You know what the reason is? Because once he heard that the verdict was issued, that he has to go, he was sentenced to Golos, he has to be exiled to the Ir Miklat, and he underwent the emotional stress, and he envisioned himself, oh no, I'm really going to go out of my comfort zone, understatement. I have to go into exile, away from everything. And in his mind, it's like he went into Golos already, even though it didn't actually happen. Mashenechkeka b'dimyono, the Meiri says, or Rishon. It was etched in his imagination. He pictured himself. He went through the emotional, mental exercise, Galuso, that he was actually in exile. And now people have anxieties about lots of things. People worry about weather, they worry about illness, chas v'shalom, circumstances, they worry about all types of things. And in their mind, some people who are prone to stress and anxiety, they literally live it. That's how much they go through. There are people born like that. It happened to David. That's what we're learning about now, the last few weeks. He comes back, And there's nobody there. The city's empty, and the place is burned to the ground. So they thought the worst. We already went over this more than one time. They pictured the worst outcome. Chas v'shalom. They went through that already. In their minds, goram lo lehichana. It caused them to be humbled. The person is now at the level he's supposed to be without actually going through that ordeal. Because he pictured that he went through it already. That's like he went through it. Aj shebechani yaso, the Meiri says, through his humbling experience, niskaper lo b'misas ha-kohen ha-gadol. Then, because he thought that, and the kohen ha-gadol died, then he doesn't have to go. So you know what? The Meir is telling us something absolutely amazing, incredible. A person, it might be decreed that the person has to go through something. And the person thinks about it and hears about it, and Chas v'shalom, the person envisions himself going through it, he really can't help it. He's so anxious, he's traumatized by the thought. That might be the end of it right there. He doesn't have to go through it anymore. And that could be a way that we can make it through. People who are prone to anxiety. Because I want you to know that it says in Maseches Kiddushin, that was in Maseches Makos, in the fourth pair of Kiddushin, it just uses a terminology. It talks about choli, zikna, and yisurim. It says when a person, chas v'shalom, goes through illness or old age or suffering. So the Mefarshim, and then it says the Torah protects the person from all evil. That's the context. It's the end of Maseches Kiddushin. So the Mefarshim are wondering, it said illness, old age, and then suffering. Wait, what's Yisurim? How's that different from illness? No, the difference is because Choli means physical illness. Suffering means Yisurei HaNefesh, Daigo V'Kas. When a person suffers through worry and anger, things that are provocative and they worry us and anger us, that's also Yisurim. That's also a Kapara. So that means that to our advantage, we can actually take an experience. We can't say, "Oh, David, how can he be worried? And what was that all a waste? They cried and it was a waste." It was not a waste because maybe it's because they cried so much and envisioned the whole thing that it didn't actually have to happen. The outcome was positive the whole time. The whole time there was nothing wrong. Hashem knew that he's going to be a person who they take it so seriously, and they cried till they have no strength. Hashem says, "So then nothing really happened the whole time. It was okay the whole time." Many ordeals we go through, they're okay the whole time. But the stress we have in the beginning, it's because Hashem knows that we're so sensitive to those things that we don't have to actually suffer them. So I want to mention a more notable example. It's a famous one. Famous, infamous example that the Aruch HaTzaddikim quotes. It's very provocative and stimulating. It really gets people going. The Aruch HaTzaddikim talks about this dilemma. Sometimes people are worried, what do others think about me? David was worried about it. It says when David came back, the man always points out, they're all going to be furious at me. Because remember, we said this. I told them to go to the battlefield. Remember, he had no choice. We always, always have to remember. Sometimes we make a decision, it's unpopular. But whatever we do is going to be unpopular. It was a very unpopular decision. But he couldn't stay there either. We already went through that. He couldn't stay and he couldn't go. So he had to take what made more sense at the second. So he went. They had no choice. He went, and that was going to save him for the moment. And then it ended up looking like it was wrong. Sometimes we make decisions. We're afraid of becoming unpopular or people are going to be angry at us. And then we say, now it's going to be about my reputation. What do people think about me? We know that that's one of the most wasteful exercises that a person can go through because we're supposed to do what Hashem wants from us. And yes, we're supposed to want to be liked by people. It says, Kol Shevruach Abriyos Nochem Menu, Rachamachem Nochem Menu, says in our office, yes, we're supposed to be well-liked. But that's not the priority. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do, according to Hashem's will, and then usually it'll be popular, but it won't always. It won't always be that way. So here's an example where a person could be very concerned, what's going to be with my reputation? This is very stressful, causes huge anxiety. There's a situation that Aruch HaTzaddikim talks about in Anava, talks about humility. What if somebody said something about me, Lashon Hara, slander, it wasn't even true, and I heard that this person slandered me. They're spreading rumors about me. Or they misunderstood something I did, and now they're saying negative things about me. What is my reaction supposed to be? How am I supposed to feel about that? What do I do? It says, Al yachlim ha-mesaper. We should not embarrass or lash out at the one who said the Lashon Hara. V'lo yichasimo. And the person shouldn't even get angry at the person who said Lashon Hara about me. If someone slandered me, I shouldn't even get angry. Now, why not? Why not get angry at the person? They slandered me. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, there's a story, one of the Chachamim And I mean, you'd think he'd be worried about what his reputation is going to be. Maybe people won't listen to his shiurim anymore. Maybe people won't want to hold of him as a whatever name he thought he had, his label as an upstanding person, as a scholar. This chacham, people said lashon hara about him. When he found out about it, what did he do? What was his reaction? The famous case. Shalach laoso shesiper olav doron. He sent a present to the one who said the slander about him, sent him a present. I bet he had a nice thank you note with it. Yeah, he wrote a thank you note. He said, thank you so much for doing that to me. I really appreciate it. And he wasn't just joking. He was serious because you sent me a present by doing that to me. And therefore, I have sent you a present out of gratitude. Now, what's the present that the slanderer gave him? What is the present?
Suffering.
And the Aruch HaSidim says, based on Rishonim, Liyom Hadin, on the day of judgment, Marim Mitzvos, Taharbi Bnei Adam, they show mitzvos to many people. Shalom also Osan HaMitzvos. What do you mean? Rivon Shalom. Listen, I tried hard, I did some mitzvos. I didn't do these mitzvos. You're showing me these mitzvos on my record. I didn't do them. Where did you get them from?
I just want to go back to that.
Sure.
That you'd be interested to know that Rabbi Kippel, when he was in this situation, he always used to say,
100%. That's right. He always said that. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. He wasn't worried or concerned if there was negativity said about. He had to make decisions.
He had to make decisions.
And this is right. So this is. Listen to this step that he took it further to the next level. He said, "Thank you so much because." After 120 years, they show me mitzvahs that I never did, and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't do these. So what do they tell me? Halo lo asina, we never did this. No, they say, those people who said lashon hara about you that wasn't true, they did these mitzvahs. And they take those mitzvahs and they give them to you. So this is a famous thing. It's brought in more than one sefer. Wait a minute here. I could be anxious, and I could be stressed out, I could be angry and worried if someone says something negative about me. Or I could say, thank you so much, Baruch Hashem, I'm totally serious, because I forgive you. I have nothing against you. In fact, I'm grateful to you because I got some of your mitzvahs. That means the anger and worry, which we already said before, Maseches Kiddushin, the Meforshim, which are Yisurei HaNefesh, they're not necessary. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be worried because really everything's working to my advantage. The person's worried is going to go to the Eir Mikla. And he pictures it in his mind. What a horrible ordeal I have to go through. Well, guess what? Okay, now you don't have to go. Because you pictured it and you went through the stress. So when people go through this, now we're not supposed to be worried and anxious. We're supposed to work in this. That's what this whole vod is all about. But every human being has this sometimes. We already said it more than one time. Yosef turned colors from the snakes and scorpions, according to one shot in Tosfos. That means he was stressed, according to one shot. David HaMelech and his men are crying, which we're going to get back to that now, and he can't stop crying. Those experiences, they could be used to our advantage. Here's a person who's not worried at all about his reputation when it says a lashon hara about him. All he does is send him a thank you note and a present. So when these things happen, we can actually use them for the good, and we can actually anticipate the best outcome. If we can't help it and we anticipate the worst outcome, which is what happens sometimes, then that also works to our advantage. And it's as if we went through that, and we had the kapara, we had the atonement. And in fact, it brings us back to David HaMelech. That was all a meaningful tangent that came to me this morning, and I said, this is so relevant to our lives. We have it all the time. And because, you know what, there are people, I've heard it so many times, there are some people who are born worriers, and there are people who are not born worriers. I imagine there must be people of all types out there. So the people who are born, what are we going to say to people like that? The answer is, we have to do the best we can. And now we're going to go back to David. David said, I'm not a born warrior, but I certainly have gone through a lot of unspeakable horror in my life. And here's one of them. He comes back, his wives are gone, everybody in the city is gone, and they were assumed they dead, and then they found out they weren't dead. What was David's takeaway? What did he take away? How is his life different after the Siklag experience? That's the next question. Because whatever David did differently now, that's what I could do if I ever have something, chas v'shalom, that's traumatic and stressful. Let me take an example from David. Does anybody know, what did David compose as a result of this experience? He composed
the Tehillim.
Ma'am, always brings that. He composed a parak Tehillim. Which parak? All right, although the Prophet Chav Zion. On this tzar, the Ma'am always says, David, he said, the parak of Tehillim, Hashem Ori V'yishi. Hashem is my light. Hashem is my salvation. This is after he came back and found out that it's okay. The whole time everything was okay. Now, if you consider people being led away in captivity to be okay, well, it's relatively okay because they were able to get everybody and there were no casualties. So he said, "Bikrov alai mireim, when evildoers will come close to me," what evildoers? Elu hamalekim, this Amaleki band who led all the people away. So when that happens to me, lechos bisari, to eat my flesh, to consume me. What does that mean? That's his wives, because that's like part of him. They were captured. If anybody will come to try to do that to me. But David ends up being successful here, triumphant, chasing them and getting everybody back. Mikan ve'elach, from now on, Omar David, he took something away from it. He said, I was stressed out and devastated. I was traumatized. But no more am I going to be traumatized if this happens again. I learned my lesson. Because it was okay the whole time. Im tachane olai machane. If a camp will encamp against me, what camp? Shal Amalekim. Anybody like this again? And I want to give my wife credit, not only for inspiring this always to happen, but I want to thank you for noticing. An Amaleki band led all the people away. Amaleki band. We already know. We said it five times already. Amalek is the gematria of Suffolk. It caused him to have all types of doubts. What's going to be? Is it going to be okay or not? It's not a coincidence it's Amaleki band. And this is the Chafetz Chaim uses as the nucleus, as the source for bitachon on the battlefield. Because we have doubts when we go through travails. The doubts are, am I going to be okay? Amalek is Suffolk. It's the same gematria. And that's the Yetzirah that puts everything into doubt. Makes us uncertain about everything. About Amunah, about Hashem. So David says, if I ever have another camp of Amalekim, any more doubtful experiences like this, Lo yirali bi. My heart will not be afraid anymore. Lo yirali. This is Parakhav Zayin. It's Chav Zayin. It's Elam. We say it's coming up. Elo. I won't be afraid anymore. David says, because I learned my lesson. I was afraid this time. And I found out at the end I didn't need to be afraid. In retrospect, im tokum alai milchama, if war will rise up against me, shal amalekim. Again, if it's amalekim, this is how the Mayam Lois brings, how the Pasuk is referring. Bezos ani votech. I trust in this. Now, what is the zos, the lush in the keva? So there are different explanations, but the Mamre always brings an explanation. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was giving the brachos to the Shvatim, right before he died, the zos to brachos she'berach Moshe Yishua l'kim etzunei Yisrael l'kinei Moso, what was one of the brachos to Shevet Yehuda, from which David comes? The zos to Yehuda by Omar Shema Hashem kol Yehuda, that Yehuda and his descendants, the kings of Klal Yisrael, Hashem listen to them, make them victorious, make them successful, help them persevere. And I forgot about that, I guess, temporarily. I was supposed to trust in that. V'zos Yehuda v'yomar, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Moshe Rabbeinu already said it's Yehuda for my Shevet, for me, for all the kings that come out of me. And the kings after me until Mashiach. So for now, when I learn the lesson, I look at this and say, so what is he saying? He's saying that I guess I could have done better, and I will do better. And this is what we're supposed to do when we have to do a traumatic experience. We say, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm still here. I'm healthy. I'm fine. And from now on, I'm going to have this bitachon. And this is what David HaMelech says. Now we're going to continue in the storyline as we just move to the end. And we're going to probably close with the Tzikluk story today and then move on, Mir Hashem, from now on, in the Chafetz Chaim's Machane Yisrael, when he speaks to the soldiers on the story. When David strengthened himself, and we already said the famous favorite, maybe pasuk here is Vayischazek David Vashem Elokav. He strengthened himself, and then he said to Avyasa the Kohen, "Bring me the ephod, please." And it says he brought the ephod. The ephod is the breastplate of the Urim V'Tumim. It's the Urim, the lights and the completers. That's Urim V'Tumim, meaning that the message is completed and sent through. What he's supposed to do? Now we have a very big question here. The man below, he says, if David wants advice from Hashem, we learned last time, we have to ask Das Torah, we have to daven. Of course, we have to have bitachon. Why doesn't David get up and go to the Urim V'Tumim and consult the Urim V'Tumim? Why does he say to the Kohen, bring, please, the Urim V'Tumim to me. Bring it to me. Why does he need it brought to him? Because David was so weak from crying, he couldn't even get himself up to go to the Urim V'Tumim. That just shows you how deeply they were weeping. They were traumatized by what happened. Again, an insight. They anticipated the worst. It went to the very depths. They were at the bottom, rock bottom, emotionally. He was physically weakened by it. And this is still David HaMelech. A person is physically weakened by stress sometimes, by crying, by trauma, by being devastated. But then the person says, I will not stay there. I will pick myself up, and I will ask the Urim Thummim what to do. And then the story continues in Shmuel. And we've now come to Pesukim that we haven't looked at yet. The Urim Thummim came. He went to the Urim Thummim, was brought to him, and asked the question, Vayishta David Ba'Hashem. And the Chofetz Chaim is going to point out, by the way, that he could not ask any questions. He could not daven. He could not consult. He could not plan until he stopped crying. Out of the depression, and then we can march forward. Until then, he couldn't do anything. But once, by his chazik David Ba'Hashem Elokav, strengthened himself, he says, now what are we going to do? Vayishal David Ba'Hashem. David consulted Lamor, saying, Erdof acharei hagedud hazeh? Should I run after this band, these terrorists, this gang, ha'asigenu, will I overtake it? Vayomer lo redof. And the answer comes, chase, march, ki haseg tasig, because you will overtake, vatzel tasil, and you will rescue everybody. No casualties, zero. He gets that answer. And then a few psukim later, he finds someone who guides them where to go. They're on hot on the tracks of these people. Now the Amaleki band, what are those guys doing? They're just chilling. They're on the top of the world. We got all the captives. We got all the loot. We won, right? That's the Amaleki band. Sometimes our adversaries eating, drinking, they're just celebrating. It's a party. Life's a party. That's Amalekim. Oh, tremendous amount of spoils. They really cashed in that day. I like to call them a bunch of cowards. It was a defenseless city. Just women and children were there. That's what they consider a victory. Big victorious battle, wasn't it, huh? Wow. Asher lokkum eretz plishtim me'eretz Yehuda. David says, attack! Vayakem David! And David struck them with his men. 24 hours or more attacking. I'm not sure why the battle took that long, but just attacking them and attacking them again. I guess there were a lot of them, because I don't think there was a small number of people whom they led away. Till the next day, there was not one person who escaped, no survivors from the Amaleki band, except the Nabi tells us there were 400 men, young men, who fled on camels. And that was the end of those people. But David got everybody back. Vayatzel David is kol asher lokachu. And David got everybody back. Asher lokachu Amalek, whom Amalek had captured. Veshtei noshav hitzil David. David saved his two wives. Lo nedar lahem min hakaton varagado. Nobody's missing. They took attendance. They took a roll call. Not young, not old. No person was missing. The Advani Muvanos, all the sons and daughters who had been captured from Sikh, Mishalal, and even the material wealth, even the spoils, all the material stuff, all the stuff, all the valuables were there. Yadkal Asher Lakulahem Hakol Heshiv David. Brought everything back. So in reality, the outcome couldn't have been better. That's the best that it could have been at the end. Even though initially they anticipated the worst. The whole time everything was fine. Why is it in the Navi? Because we're supposed to learn from this about things that worry us. That's why the Chofetz Chaim says, this is the story for the soldiers on the battlefield. This is the basis for the whole story. This is the backbone of the bitachon for the soldiers on the battlefield.
Now, we talked about last time that the real concern was for the Ruchnius. When it says everybody was fine, that means everybody was really fine?
Yeah, but Pashtus, that's a really good question. The question was the real concern for the Ruchnius? So as the man always had pointed out, thank you for reminding us about that, the concern for the Ruchnius was that, if anybody recalls, that, what was that? Right, because they said like this, well, you'll notice that David and his men were very halig, very high level, obviously, because it said they were most concerned about the children who would not go to their nefesh, they would not allow themselves to be killed rather than do avodah zarah. They figured, but they wrote off the women as having willing to die rather than be forced to do a Avodah Zarah. That's what they assume. So that's what it said here. Oh, the Banim and the Banus are Katanim. Ein Bahem Das Limsur Atmam HaKiddushas Hashem. So that's what they were about, the Ruchnius of the youngsters. But Hanoshim Hoya Muf Tuchlem. Imagine, you talk about Bitachon. I mean, what kind of Bitachon exactly is that? They were positive. Sheyim Suru Nafshim HaKiddushas Hashem. The women, they're going to let themselves be killed to not do any Averus. That's what, so in other words, that's beginning, the biggest stress they had was about the fact that the children would do averos. Women would allow themselves to be killed rather than do them. That's what their calculation was when everybody was gone. So now when they find everybody, when they say there's no casualties, it was such a short time. The pashtus, there's no mention of ruchnis. You know what? The Torah doesn't spare anybody. If they had done something wrong, then it would have been, the Torah would have said, they did avodah zarah. I'll prove it to you. Because in Parshas Matos, with the war, Midian, it says, lo nifkad mimenu ish. It says the soldiers came back, and even though the immorality there was indescribable, in the Arvas Moav with by Shittim and everything, at the war there, they said nobody did any averos, even though it was the Benos Moav, Benos Midian topic in Parshas Balas. It's coming up in a few weeks. Balak, Matos, Mase, so Pinchas, so the Torah would have, I'm sure, would have for that kind of category. That's a very important kind of thing to mention. Yes, so Bapashtus, everything was fine. Everybody was intact. That's what it seems like. So all of their anxiety was unfounded because nothing was wrong. They were there in mind and in spirit and in emotion. They were all returned. That's the Pashas, what the Navi is saying, according to the simple Pshat, for sure. And therefore we have, and the Chafetz Chaim brings this as the example of a deliverance, of a salvation on the battlefield, and the kind of bitachon that we need to have in order to persevere and to survive, more than survive, thanks. And we're just going to end off today by summarizing that Baruch Hashem, we went through, to a degree, the story of Tziklag that happened with David HaMelech. The Chafetz Chaim, this is the Sefer Machne Yisrael, he wrote for soldiers on the battlefield. He used that as the main story to demonstrate to the soldiers that if they trust that they're going to come out okay and they're going to come home in one piece, they're going to. Most of that bitachon, they're going to be fine. They will actually not, it's not just whatever Hashem does is going to be okay. It's more than that. It's that I'm allowed to trust and I need to trust in Hashem that I'm going to be okay. The situation will be okay. We know the Chazon Ish holds there's a different little pshat in bitachon that he has. Whatever Hashem does is the best. We need that also because, let's face it, there was something that went wrong and people were led away in captivity. So that did happen. Now, how are you supposed to deal with that? Now we have to say, Hashem has cheshbonus, why he does it. Hashem has his calculations. And that was a tzara, and they did suffer that. But at the end, overall, everything's fine. And as we said, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says the same thing about Yosef HaTzadik. Was he harmed? Because he's thrown in a pit with snakes and scorpions, because he's sold, because he's brought to the most decadent place in the civilized world, or maybe in the world at that time, because he's between a rock and a hard place, between his master Potiphar and Ishus Potiphar, who were both piece of bad news. Did he suffer or did he not suffer? Was he harmed? We talked about harm and suffering, the difference between all that and hurt. But one shot of the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, no, he did not suffer. He might have suffered, but he wasn't harmed. Let's put it that way, okay? And when at the end he wasn't harmed, then in retrospect, everything was really okay the whole time. That means it was shlicha mitzvah enam nizokim. He actually wasn't hurt. He wasn't harmed. So the way we look at it is look in the whole picture, everything was okay at the end. And the whole focus was this pasuk that the Chafetz Chaim says was in the Navi, Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokav. When he strengthened himself, then he was able to ask what to do. And in Mirtz Hashem, when we continue next time, we're going to just start from the Chafetz Chaim's summary that he extracts from that pasuk that David strengthened himself and the order of how we're supposed to approach things in the face of adversity and challenge and Chas Shalom, the order of how we're supposed to look. We have to strengthen ourselves, and then we're able to move further, and then we're able to persevere with the Mirav Bitachon. I want to thank you very, very much. Are there any questions? Okay, so yes, I'm going to say them out loud to make sure that they're audible.
So this might be out of order, but I'm just wondering, does it suffer any more anxiety and fear in the future after?
Thank you so much for asking that. Because that this is a, right, the question is, does David suffer any more fear, anxiety, things like that? That's an extremely important question. I was thinking that when we talked about it on Shabbos, how even though he said here, I learned my lesson, my takeaway is, I'm not going to be afraid anymore, but yet, he certainly went through tzaros after this. Now, this is in Shmuel Aleph right here. Now, what happens as we move into Shmuel Beis? He has a lot of tzaros. I mean, you know the Navi better than I do. So the question is, what are his emotions? He goes through suffering and a tremendous amount of tzaros. The question is, what about his... Oh, yeah, I'm just thinking one thing. The Gemara Sota says, when Avshalom was killed. Avshalom was killed. Right, I have everything. It's in Shmuel Beis. All things happen in Shmuel Beis, right? Okay. So so he cried. He cried tremendously. He mourned. It says, and the Gemara Sota says he was able to get Avshalom from one level to the next to the... out of Gehenna, etc. The people who know Navi well, which you know it more than I do, because I don't remember it so well, there's places that it says that, you know, that he cried so deeply out of distress, or was it just mourning? I don't know the Navi well enough to know all these sources, but if he wrote Chaf Zion in Tehillim as a response to this, I can tell you one thing. We're positive that he definitely did better on his level. Everything he went through from now, he said, Lo Yirali Bi. He said it clearly, my heart will not be afraid anymore. So, as we talked about on Shabbos when we were preparing this, we said, is that absolute, is that 100%? Perhaps by David it was. By most people, but what the takeaway from an experience is that I'm going to be at least better next time. I'm going to try. But even if they're not better, we know, and we talked about this also, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis says, Kol Gadol Mechaver Yitzhak Gadol Hemeno, the greater person has a greater Yitzhahara. When a person overcomes the Yitzhahara and is victorious in one challenge, it's not the same person anymore. I heard this from my Rebbe in 10th grade, Rebbe Chaim Zev Levitan, because I said, Rebbe, I did this thing, you know, and I worked on it, and I got better, and I thought I got perfect, and the next time, it wasn't that way again. He said, because you're not the same person. When it says a greater person than a greater Sahara, that's not like this person over here and that person over there. That's you! That's you today, and then you tomorrow, and then you the next day. That's also a different person. So it could be that this David HaMelech will not be afraid anymore. And when he gets a bigger challenge, it wouldn't be an indictment against him if he would feel emotional stress. It wouldn't be, because he's not the same David HaMelech. He's a greater David HaMelech. So the answer is, I know I didn't give you a definite answer, because I don't really have one that I know well enough to say for sure, but he definitely had challenges, and he definitely had an emotional roller coaster throughout his life. There's no question about it. Finally, at the end, as we know, he sang Shira Tashem. Remember we talked about that? That's the ultimate expression of Simcha. That's one of the That's David sang to Hashem, and it says when Hashem saved him from all his enemies. But that wasn't, you know what, it's a great question. It made me thinking, because it was only at the end of his life, it says he was able, see, if you look in the end of Shmuel Beis, it says, Vayidaber David Hashem es divrei hashira hazos, beyom yitzel Hashem oso mekaf kol oyevav. I wonder, it's not a coincidence, that only at the end of his life he was able to sing Shira, because the Madrega, where we know Emunah leads to Bitachon, Bitachon leads to Simcha, and Simcha leads us to be able to really sing Balev Shalom Sehalel, it's not until the end of Shmuel Beis. So perhaps even David HaMelech, not the very end, but close to maybe even David HaMelech, it was a life's work for him. It really was.
So you also see, I don't know the chronology of it, but Prakim wrote from after the Yeshua, and certain Prakim that he wrote when he was still in that challenge, and he said, "No, from the challenge, I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna." So I don't know the chronology. It's interesting to see which ones happened before and which ones happened after. But definitely, it was a growing experience. I would have.
And through Tehillim, we can see that. When we read each paragraph of Tehillim, like you were saying, okay, when did he write this? Hashem Mar Abut Sarai, Rabim Komi Malai. What about that one? Right, like we say in Tachnun, Tzarli Ma'od. So he was saying these when he was in exile from rebellion. He had Gera, he had Shalom, he had Adoniyahu. He had so many tzaros in his life. So he definitely had tzaros. But the only thing that I am positive about, and this is very little that I'm positive about, is based on the Hamaloes. He resolved that if such a thing will happen like this again, anything like this again, he's not going to have anxiety about it. That's definite. That's the only thing I know for sure. That's Bikrov Olam Mirim. Hashem is going to be with me, I won't be afraid anymore. Excellent question. Thank you so much. Yes? Any other questions? No? Okay. So I can show you. Okay, thank you very much. That's the end of today's, and have a wonderful day, everybody.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.